This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 17th. I'm Chris Zinsley, filling in for Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Yesterday, we talked about the messaging app Telegram and what it's doing to become a profitable business. On today's episode, another messaging app, Signal, faces a different challenge. It appears to have been blocked in China. Our Asia Tech reporter Stephanie Yang will be here to talk about what's going on after these headlines. We've told you about how some app makers are pushing back on the fees they're charged by app stores. Now, Google says it's changing its structure. Instead of taking a flat 30% fee on the goods and services sold on its Google Play platform, Google will now charge 15% on the first $1 million a developer earns. That's similar to a change Apple made late last year. It cut the 30% fee down to 15% for developers who bring in less than $1 million a year in sales. Both App Store owners are making these moves amid a campaign against them by Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, and as regulators scrutinize the tech giants for the power they wield through their marketplaces. Uber has made a surprise decision about how it pays drivers in the UK. The ride-hailing company says it'll start treating UK drivers as workers, an employment category in the UK that falls between employee and independent contractor. The change means that Uber will now grant UK drivers vacation pay and pension contributions and guarantee a minimum wage while they're on trips. Last month, the UK's Supreme Court said that a group of former Uber drivers should have been given worker status. It's been nearly 3 years since the EU enacted a sweeping privacy law known as GDPR, or General Data Protection Regulation. Lately, more sanctions against companies under the law are being challenged and overturned. European courts have struck down or reduced several multi-million dollar privacy fines in recent months. Our WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter Catherine Stupp says companies are paying close attention.
For the last few years, we've heard about the incredible damage that the GDPR could do to companies. Fines can be really high. So there's the financial fallout. There's also the harm it can do to a company's reputation. So what we're seeing with these appeals is that companies are learning how to actually navigate the regulatory system and find ways to kind of strike back when regulators fine them.
And Nokia says it plans to cut between 5 and 10,000 jobs over the next 2 years. The company is in the early stages of a major restructuring that it hopes will make it a leader in 5G cellular technology. Nokia says the cuts will lower its costs by around $700 million. It plans to use the savings in part to offset greater investment in research and development. All right, coming up next, the messaging app Signal has been an increasingly popular way for people in China to communicate securely. Until this week, that is. We'll discuss the latest after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The encrypted messaging app Signal became unusable for many people in mainland China this week, with users concluding it had been blocked by authorities there. Signal was one of the last widely used messaging apps that could send and receive encrypted messages in China without a virtual private network. Our Asia tech reporter Stephanie Yang has been following this, and she joins us now to talk about it. Stephanie, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So can you just give us a sense of how people have used Signal within China and what role it's played in discourse there?
Yeah, so Signal tends to be a very bare bones messaging app that people generally use to communicate when they want an encrypted option. So traditionally, everyone in China really uses WeChat. But WeChat is also subject to censorship and surveillance. So Signal has often provided a different venue for that. Journalists have used it in their work, or people, you know, overseas have used it to keep in touch with friends, family, and sometimes activists on politically sensitive issues that they wouldn't want to put on a different app.
And so Signal was gaining in popularity in China for some of the reasons that you just mentioned, but were there other factors that were contributing to its growth?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Signal has actually been used much less than some of the other encrypted apps that are blocked in China, such as Telegram and WhatsApp. But it had been gaining traction leading up to this moment, most notably in August, according to some research on app downloads that Signal had seen record high downloads after the Trump administration had announced that it was going to ban WeChat in the U.S.
Got it. So I want to get a sense of the impact of this apparent blocking of Signal in China. For someone who wants to use Signal there now, what does this mean for them?
So it seems that Signal can still be used using a virtual private network or a VPN, which is basically a tool that you can log into to circumvent China's censorship blocks. So these are used for people, you know, in China who need to access Facebook or read some foreign media for business, things like that. The problem is that because Signal used to be available without VPN and now it requires one, that may cause complications for some people who would like to use Signal because it's getting increasingly more difficult to find VPNs that work and that work well. So hundreds of VPNs in recent years have been removed from the app stores. And then at the same time, there have been an increasing number of fines and penalties on people who both use and provide VPNs, which is a strong deterrent for those who might be looking for that option. So even though feasibly there is a workaround, you could still use Signal in mainland China. It just makes it that much harder.
Got it. And we should be clear, the Chinese government has not said that it blocked Signal. There have been several other social media and messaging apps that have become unavailable in China. What do authorities there say about this?
So actually, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in China fielded a question on Signal in their daily briefing. And so they said that they weren't aware of the situation and referred it to the relevant department for questions, but did say that China has an open and free internet, but which is also governed by China's laws.
So is this apparent blocking of Signal surprising?
So it actually isn't. You know, a lot of people have said this would kind of be expected, given that Signal is used for encrypted and private communications. So what some people think may have happened is that Signal has been flying under the radar for a while because its user base has been so small compared to some other popular messaging apps like WhatsApp or Telegram. For reference, Signal's iOS downloads in China have only reached about 500,000 compared to millions for WhatsApp or Telegram. So in this case, it's not clear why now, but it could be that this slow but steady traction that it was gaining was enough to put it on someone's radar.
So big picture, what do all of these restrictions on various communications channels in China mean for public and private discourse there?
So I think that it's kind of just one more on the pile of unavailable apps in which people can speak freely and communicate in an encrypted way. So kind of consolidating everyone towards the main channels of Chinese apps like WeChat. And so for Signal, this was really one of the last ones that people widely used to communicate with each other off of WeChat. And so not having that option, I think, is just detrimental to being able to speak freely about certain sensitive issues, especially communicating with others even outside of the mainland.
All right. That's our Asia tech reporter, Stephanie Yang. Stephanie, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please go rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Chris Zinsley for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.